When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, we decided to take this week off, so here is a classic Halloween episode that we did a couple years ago. Hope you enjoy. Everybody, to the All Too Real 2 podcast. My name is Count Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is Wolfman Matt Hoss. Okay, anyways, today on the All Too Real 2 podcast, we are covering the very cool topic that Matt has researched for us of the history of, what is it?
Halloween.
Ooh. Okay. So, what have you found out about the history of this dark and sinister and macabre holiday?
Macabre, I like that word. Not as much as I'd like to. I would like to read like 15 books about it before talking about it.
Yeah.
And just learn every little detail. But the gist of it is that Halloween, well, at least originally Halloween drew from both Celtic pagan and Christian traditions off in Europe. But when in America, Halloween didn't really become like kind of like a it practically is a national holiday, but it didn't really become like a big thing until about 1926 in America.
Okay.
And then what happened was they pretty much just caught on because they saw like all these people like doing trick-or-treating, because back then they almost kind of saw it as like almost like blackmail, like, or intimidation, that, you know, some kids are coming to your house to beg for candy, and if you don't give it to them, that you're gonna, you know, they're afraid they're gonna end up, you know, burning down their house or something, doing something, you know.
Burning down the house.
Burning down the house. But I'm just kind of like, I kind of go from the beginning, I guess, just to kind of have like a context. But yeah, so it started with Celtic traditions, where people would dress up as demons in order to scare demons, basically. So it was basically like, oh, that demon's more powerful than me, I better, you know, leave, kind of thing. And so they kind
of,
you
know, I get scared a lot of times when people dress up like me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Though, they may have dressed up even scarier than the demon itself that they were trying to scare.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, oh my god, this guy is really crazy, I better, you know, leave this town, go somewhere else.
I was just making sure nobody's out there wearing a Mike Cullen costume and trying to scare me or whatever, but yeah.
And this article I got this from was Business Insider, which, you know, I thought was weird, but, you know, Halloween's a big business, so I guess it makes sense that they cover it. So I go from, like, the name itself. So the name was kind of popularized by a Scottish poet named Robert Burns, and he wrote the word Halloween in his Well, I guess he named the poem Halloween as well in 1785. And I guess before that, maybe the word wasn't used very often, and at least, like, you know, in America or even in Europe, I guess, at that point. Because they call it a different name. They had, like, All Hallows Eve, and then it was, you know, All Saints Day was on November 1st. And that was kind of how the Christian aspect got into us, because, you know, Christianity, whenever it spread, it always kind of incorporated different practices of the people to kind of ease them into it a little bit. So they figured, oh, well, you know, our holiday is, you know, on November 1st. Theirs is on October 30th. We could just sort of, you know, kind of do like a, you know, little crossover here.
Where'd the een part of the word come from?
The een is, okay, so according to the online etymology dictionary, which I read on a daily basis, not really, it's actually two words that are put together. So hallow or halo is or holy person. I wonder if that is even related to the word halo because of the whole.
It probably is.
It might be. And so that usually refers to saints celebrated on All Saints Day, which is on November 1st. And the een part of the word is a contraction of the word eve, or the evening before. So Halloween basically means it's the day before the real holiday, which is All Saints Day.
So it is All Hallows Eve sort of thing.
So that was their way, again, of course, trying to sort of like inch people into their thing, but kind of ease them into it. But at the same time, naming the holiday, like the name of the holiday itself basically means that it's inferior to the actual day, the very next day, because it's actually supposed to be, basically Hallows Eve. It's the, you know, eve of the great day of all the saints, you know, whether it be St. George or St. Germain, which is my favorite personally. But, you know, everyone's got their own favorite, kind of like, you know, just like, you know, baseball players. Sorry, it's really. Yeah.
I have a Saints trading card set that I got. You know, it's got all their stats on the back and all the, like, you know, the miracles that they you know, performed and stuff. Yeah,
that's terrible. But you know what I mean. Everyone's got their own favorite. Like, I don't know. Like,
my favorite, and it sounds weird, is Saint Bernadette.
Oh yeah,
her body is still preserved to this day, like 200 years after she died, or
whoa,
something.
Yeah. Really? Why? Yeah. How?
I don't know, but you can visit her body. What? And it's completely, like, it's under a glass thing, and you can see it.
Wow.
It's creepy, man.
where is it?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up, but it's really kind of creepy, man. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out, actually.
Yeah.
I've got a really big thing for, like, saints. Like, I don't know what it is, just something about the idea that people visit them, like, in shrines and, like, light candles and, like, you know, ask them for, like, intercession and stuff like that.
Are you a fan of the New Orleans Saints?
No, I don't like those.
Oh, okay.
I hate New Orleans Saints.
Really?
No, not really.
Our friend Jamal Wallace Knight likes them a lot.
I don't care. They're one of the teams I don't care about no matter what. Like, there's weird. There's certain teams I absolutely love and hate, and then there's ones that I just don't care. Like, Cleveland Browns, obviously, because, you know, that's what everyone I grew up with, like, the Browns. Lions, because my best friend growing up, his dad liked the Lions, and ipso facto, he liked the Lions, and then I liked the Lions. And then my uncle liked the 49ers for some reason, even though none of us are from California or anywhere near California. And so that means I liked the 49ers. My aunt liked the New York Jets. None of us live anywhere new New York. None of our family lives in New York. But I like the Jets. So basically, you know, sports teams is kind of like a sort of lesson and indoctrination and brainwashing from your parents or other people in your life. You like what they like. Mm-hmm. So I solved the issue right there.
Yes, I'm a University of Michigan fan just because my dad was.
Yeah, so
okay.
I'm kind of getting sidetracked. So basically it means the eve of All Saints Day, which is, you know, supposed to be the Christian holiday. And then they have a big Christian feast dedicated to the saints on that day, or at least they did. I don't know if that's, you know, a thing anymore, but that was what they used to do. And it says, you know, in Christian tradition, people start celebrating major feasts the night before they take place. Take Christmas Eve, for instance. Well, I don't really – that doesn't make sense, because most people I know don't eat big dinners on Christmas Eve. They do it on Christmas Day. I don't know.
So, some people do. Really? A lot. I mean, I think we did when my family – Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's just my my tradition, because we always did it on, I mean, we like went to like a Christmas party on Christmas Eve, but all right. So, the morbid traditions. All right. So, you know, let's get into the weird stuff. So it says historians have linked Halloween to, Samhain. I think that's how it's pronounced. The Celtic festival of the summer's end, celebrated in Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man.
Isn't that like Samhain?
The thing I read didn't have an M on it when it said pronounced. Maybe they...
Yeah, because this has it written on there.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think... I'm trying to remember because they talk about it like it's in... because like the... I'm a big fan of the Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what they talk... Because they talk about it in Season of the Witch, which is the one without Michael Myers. And I know they... I'm trying to remember that.
Nicolas Cage was in that one.
No, that was The Witch.
I know.
Okay.
I thought that was called Season of the Witch, wasn't it?
Oh, it might have been.
And the Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, did he have a movie called Season
yeah,
of the Witch?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Halloween. It was
yeah.
totally different.
Yeah, because there was Halloween Season of the Witch. Yeah.
I was just trying to make a little funny, dumb joke.
Oh, no, that's cool. I just totally forgot that movie even existed because Nicolas Cage makes so many freaking movies, it's hard to remember.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, the thing I said, it had a pronounced and didn't have the M, so I don't know if they forgot to put in the M. Cause, I mean, there's an M
yeah.
in there, so I would imagine that it would have, you know, an M in the word. I don't know. It says, according to Celtic mythology, the veil between the other world and our world thins during Samhain, making it easier for spirits and the souls of the dead to return. So that's why a lot of people do seances on Halloween. And sometimes people who maybe practice Satanism will go into a graveyard and do weird shit there. It's because it's this belief that you can contact spirits, angels, demons, people that you knew, whatever, that it's much easier to get into contact with them than any other time of the year. So it's kind of like, you know, you might have to work, you know, extra harder in December than you will here. So you might as well take your chances, you know, here this time. So... So people would make offerings of food in order to get on the good side of these spirits and departed ancestors. Because, again, you know, back then people believed that, you know, it wasn't just like God or gods that did anything. It was, you know, even dead people could somehow affect your fate and life here, even from beyond. So if you fucked with them, they're just going to fuck with you. you know, you better, you know, be nice to them. And, which, you know, that may have been the whole don't speak ill of the dead. That may have been the origin of that. It's like, hey, you know, they can still hear you and still mess with your life
yeah.
somewhat. So you might, you know, want to shut up. Anyway, so it says All Hallowtide, which includes All Saints Eve, All Saints Day, and the subsequent All Souls Day, was initially celebrated in the spring during the early years of the church. Pope Gregory, I know I'm going to sound as IV, because I don't know how to read Roman numerals.
IV would be fourth.
Okay, so Pope Gregory the IV switched it to the current date in the year 837 AD, according to Britannica. His reasons were unclear, although influence from Celtic factions of the church and the fact that it makes sense to commemorate death during the fall are all possibilities. Can we take a break just for a second? Let's take a break.
Yeah, actually, let's go to a commercial right now. You know, whatever's being advertised right now, make sure you don't scare them away.
Yeah.
And invite them in.
Yeah.
If they come to your door and say trick or treat, say come on in.
Yeah.
You know?
Give them some candy, such as Twix, which is a great candy
product. I love Twix,
yeah.
man. You know, Twix... You know, I love it almost as much as Dolph Lundgren.
It does, yeah.
Loves Twix.
Yeah, he loves Twix.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, we'll be right back, folks.
Hey.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the little break we had there. I know I did.
Yeah, I did. It was good.
Yes, I had a Twix.
Yeah, it was good. Good stuff.
Nice and crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice and crunchy and caramely.
I like, yeah, that's the one I like. It's the caramel kind.
Yes. The peanut butter ones are good,
I mean, they're good, but I prefer...
They're hard to find, though.
Really?
I can't really find the peanut butter ones that often.
I see the commercials all the time. I figured would have them.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Usually the, yeah.
I don't know. That's,
yeah.
That's very strange.
Can't find them at, like, you know, Walmart or grocery stores or anything usually.
Yeah. It's...
Get on that Twix. Come on.
Yeah, come on. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Just joking.
We love you.
We love you, Twix. Mars Incorporated. Yeah. We love you. Yeah. Yes. And all of your products. Mm-hmm. Your M&Ms and your Milky Ways and your Three Musketeers and all
those. Oh, God. I love Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
That's another one. Jeez. Anyways,
you know what I never understood, though?
What?
I want to talk to the candy people right here since we're on the topic of Halloween.
Okay.
Fun size.
I hate fun size.
Why is it so small?
And why is that fun?
How is that fun?
Yeah. To me, a fun size would be bigger.
Yeah, it'd be something
like extra,
you know,
large,
like something the size of my head, you know?
Yeah, that would be
not,
fun
not
size.
Like, you know, that's like, okay, you know what? I love driving the car with the windows down and, you know, going through the speed and everything. So you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to just drive down to the end of the driveway. And that's a fun size ride.
Yeah,
man.
It's fun. But here's the thing, though. I think this is the reason why. Slamming my phone on the table. Is that fun size candy bars kind of trick you, because what happens is you'll end up eating the equivalent of like three regular size candy bars. Whereas if you had a regular size candy bar, you'd probably only eat one or not even a full one, because you'd be like, ooh, that's too much candy. I probably shouldn't eat the whole thing. But if you eat all these fun-sized ones, like, well, these are small, but overall, you're eating like the equivalent of like three regular candy bars. So you're eating two extra, and you're probably paying two extra as well, because you're buying a whole bag of that instead of just one candy bar.
And what kind of emotion would be created by a normal size candy bar? I mean, it's weird because they have fun size, and then there's like the regular size that doesn't even have a size written on it. And then they have king size.
King size, yeah, yeah.
I'm just
kind of
really...
sexist. Why not queen size?
Yeah,
I mean,
confusing.
Why not just say like royal size, or, well, that sounds kind of stupid, or court size, really. I guess they got to choose king or queen. You can't really do a majesty size. Majestic, no.
We'll be like,
think of something.
It'd be like motherfucking big bars here.
Hey, Samuel L. Jackson. All of a sudden, he's sponsoring... Come get your motherfucking
big bars of Butterfingers or...
That's another one, Butterfingers.
Yeah, that's really a different company. That's Nestle. Anyways,
Yeah, I don't think I want Nestle's sponsorship.
Well,
because they're pieces of shit.
Yeah, but then again, I think the Butterfinger's actually been sold in the United States to another company soon.
All right, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But no, Nestle actually literally said that, hey, you know... If you keep reporting on the fact that we have slaves in South America that help, you know, mine a farm or whatever, you know, your candy's going to cost more. Like, they literally put it out that, like, brazenly. Like,
not
to
mention...
They're just like, hey, if you keep telling people we have slaves, your candy's going to cost more. Like, wow. Like,
not to mention them taking taking water from cities and
right.
then bottling it and selling it to people.
Yeah. So no, I don't.
But
I don't.
That
want
could be a whole other episode of All Too Real, too, or
yeah.
or our new podcast, All Too Real. Shoe.
Yeah, shoe.
What's it got to do with
so,
shoes?
Anyways, I know it's not smart to, you know, to make fun of or mock potential ads, but no, fuck you, Nestle. Fucking hate you. I don't care how much money the 30 cents you're going to throw at us, maybe.
Hey, Nestle, I hate you too, but if you want to sponsor us, you can contact me.
No!
Wait, no, don't contact
don't
me.
Don't do that.
No, don't contact
me.
Come
on, me. Mike. We
you can contact me at Blow Me.
Oh.
Anyways, okay, let's go.
Wow. That was a nice little rant, but...
I do like Butterfingers.
Though. I know, that's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you buy one Butterfinger, it's not like...
I love drumsticks, too.
Here's the thing, though. So what happens, how about this? So if you buy a Butterfinger, then you feel guilty. Maybe just donate, you know, the same amount of money you bought that Butterfinger to some charity, that, you know, helps people. Well, you just be undoing what you're doing, though, so it would just be back to, like, 0 point. But whatever, I don't know.
Donate twice as much as what...
Twice as much,
yeah, so,
there you
so
go.
So it's like if the candy bar cost you a dollar, yes, donate like $2 yes. to, like, St. Jude's or something.
Okay.
And then you know,
something
kind of
that's
going to
help
yeah.
people, like migrant workers. So that way...
or that, you know, maybe something really directly related. Yeah, something with migrant workers. I was thinking St. Jude's because I like to, you know, help kids with cancer.
Well,
but
yeah.
still, that too is good. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying in connection, in context with...
Yeah.
I didn't read the whole article. It was kind of a large article. I sometimes read the really long, like 5,000-word ones, but I couldn't read that one. It was just too depressing. But, you know, because of how brazen they were about saying it. They're like, you know, if you keep telling people we have slaves, we're just going to have to charge you more for candy. It's like, oh my God, guys. Like, can you be more, like, on the nose? Like, but, you know, that's we live in a certain person's, you know, world now. So it's, you know, you just say whatever you want now. It's, you know.
Anyways, while we were on break, yeah. I did a little research here on what looks like Samhain.
Yeah.
But it's actually Irish Gaelic word for summer's end.
Ah.
The standard Irish pronunciation of it is Samhain. There's no M pronouncing. They're pronouncing it as like Samhain, kind of like the ow and cow. Mm-hmm. And other pronunciations that follow with many Gaelic dialects include Samhain. Which is interesting because of Halloween.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And there's also Shaveen as one. Then there's Sowin, like Glow in.
Good show.
No, Glow is a good show, yes. Mark Maron.
Yeah, totally.
Alison Brie. Anyways, Betty Gilpin. Anyways, I'll just name the whole cast. Anyways, But yeah, so basically, it's funny because none of the pronunciations pronounce it with the M in it at
right.
all, which it's
so
just the way Gaelic is, I guess. You know, sometimes.
Oh, so it's a Gaelic text.
Because it's a Gaelic word.
Well, yeah.
So I think in Gaelic, sometimes
okay.
they, you know, it's like somehow sometimes in certain languages, like they pronounce W's like V's and stuff
okay,
like that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, just to be consistent, which pronunciation would we rather go forward with? So we're just saying it's the same pronunciation.
I'd say because the standard one is Samhain.
So we'll do Samhain then?
Yeah, I think Samhain.
Okay.
Samhain, it seems like the standard Irish pronunciation.
All right, so from here on out, we're saying Samhain.
Yes.
So should we get back to it? Or
yes, let's talk about Samhain.
So now we're going to talk about some of the other traditions. Like in America, pumpkins play a big part. You know, people, kids carve pumpkins, and they make them look all scary. They put like a lantern inside of them. They paint them with all crazy colors and hairdos and all that kind of stuff, and really scary teeth. Some people cook the pumpkin seeds in the oven with a little bit of salt and pepper on it. Eat some nice pumpkin seeds, nice little fall treat.
Yum.
Okay, that's all right. Wow. Okay. There's that, but there's also bobbing for apples. Now this one was interesting. So you know, people do that as like a party game, like where they're trying to win a prize, like whether it's like, you know, money or just some
yeah.
whatever. And back then, though, it had like a I didn't really quite understand it. So I'm just going to read. I think I'm just going to read from it because maybe you can help me understand
okay.
more of the purpose. So it says bobbing for apples remains a popular party game. The reason? Well, the practice used to be considered a form of divination performed around Halloween, according to NPR. That's right. People would dunk their heads in a vat of water and try to bite into the floating fruit in a quest to figure out their future spouse. Ladies would mark an apple and toss it into the tub. The thinking was they'd be destined to whoever pulled it out of the water. Oh, okay, I guess I understand.
Oh, so basically like a lady would mark it with her name somehow or some kind of symbol. That
okay.
would, and then a dude would come in and, you know, if he bobbed for the apples and...
so then, like, you forced to...
Yeah, so it's like, oh, my apple says Susie on the bottom of it, so Susie's my future wife.
What if, like, Susie really, really hated that guy and was, like, hoping someone else would bite her apple and all was... That sounds
that's,
weird.
That's,
sorry. sorry. Well, maybe I was thinking too into that, but...
Yeah.
I think that was on me, probably, unfortunately.
I think you can, you know.
Sorry about that. I think that was on me. But,
yeah.
Whatever. So, hoping some other guy, instead of some, you know, some piece of shit or some dork that, you know, she hates. Now all of a sudden she's got to marry him because he bit an apple. It's like, thanks, you know,
thanks Celtic
gods. Maybe that's where the whole apple thing comes from the Christian tradition, because as we, I think we talked about this before in one of our, I think it was the buttercream getting two episode, actually, that it wasn't the apple, it was the pomegranate.
I think we talked about it in our misconceptions episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, because it basically in the Bible, it doesn't ever say what kind of fruit it is. It was probably more like a fig or something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Because apples really didn't grow in that part of the world.
No.
I mean, they still really don't.
It's kind of more like with paintings and things like that in the future that, I mean.
Yeah, in Europe.
Yeah. So
so that was the apple thing, which I thought was interesting because I didn't know that before. And jack-o'-lanterns, this one's even weirder, but this one's actually kind of scary. So this one actually symbolizes a deal with the devil. Yes. So it says, if you ever meet the devil on a darkened road, don't try to trick him into climbing a tree. That's curious. Why would they say that? Oh, well, they explain. Otherwise, you might end up like Irish folk figure Jack O'Lantern. Modern-day intricately designed pumpkin creations certainly make for impressive decorations. But back in the day, folks in Ireland dubbed their carved fiery turnips Jack O'Lanterns, thanks in part to an ominous legend. And it says, one night, a conniving local drunkard named Jack trapped the Prince of Darkness in a tree by hacking a sign of the cross into the bark. In exchange for letting Satan climb down, Jack had him vow to never claim his soul. Jack proceeded to act like a jerk his whole life. When he died, he sure as heck was not allowed in heaven, so he tried to return to his old pal the devil. But Satan upheld his end of the deal, hurling a piece of coal from hell at the dead man for good measure. Left without anywhere to go, Jack placed the blazing coal in a turnip to use as a lantern. The dead man then set out, doomed to wander until he can find an eternal resting place. So that's kind of fucked up. But,
yeah, I mean, that also goes into the thing where it wasn't originally pumpkins. It was more turnips and stuff like that that I know in Europe that they would carve instead of pumpkins.
Right.
Because a lot of these places, pumpkins weren't even native to. So.
Well, exactly. The pumpkins is probably our kind of the world, part of the world is more, you know, well, they have gourds in Europe, so I guess that's,
yeah, and I mean, you know, an interesting fact, you know, because like I said, I'm a fan of the Halloween movies. Mm-hmm. In both Halloween 1, the original, and then the 1978 movie, and as well as, I think it was part 4, because of pumpkins being off season, they had to take other gourds and squash and stuff like that and paint them orange and use them as the pumpkins in the movie.
Okay.
And there were times too, like I remember reading that they found in the latest Halloween movie, I believe, they took the pumpkins that they were using, their actual real pumpkins in this one, and I think it was this one, but at least one of the Halloween movies, because I've been reading a lot about them lately, they actually found that putting the pumpkins in a bath of bleach would make them last longer. So they would bleach the pumpkins in a bath of bleach, and if they put them in, you know, dipped them in bleach, they would last longer, so they could use them longer on the set.
That's wild.
So they didn't go bad. That's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, and so what about trick or treating? Do we have any history of that? Or
yeah,
anything?
We do actually, but the candy part is more of an American thing.
Yeah,
it says like I said earlier, the ancient Celts dressed up as evil spirits in order to confuse demons. Well, I thought they were trying to chase them away, but maybe they just figured, oh, it's just one of our own, we won't bother them, type of thing. All right, well, same purpose, I guess. It says in medieval England, these people who call themselves soulers, S-O-U-L-E-R-S, would go around begging.
So they're not like solar panels?
No, they're not like solar panels, no.
Oh, okay,
it's just more like a solar panel. Ooh, that's a good joke. What do you call a conference with a priest, a rabbi, and imam? It's a solar panel. I'm using that. I don't think anyone said that before.
That's a Matthew Haas original.
That's an original. I'm using that. Anyway,
yes.
So
No one steal that if you hear this. You know, yeah. Don't.
Well, we have it on file that I just came up with this. Oh, okay. Sorry. This microphone is screwed. Okay. So yeah. So it says in medieval. Could anyone hear me before? Because that microphone might have been.
Oh yeah, I could hear you.
Okay, good. So it says in medieval England, soldiers would go around begging rich folk for quote soul cakes on Halloween. Instead of threatening to play tricks on them, however, they'd pray for people's souls in return for the cake, according to quote the Complete Teacher's Almanac.
That'd be a good name for a band.
Yeah, it is.
Soul cake.
It is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically what they would do is they would just pray for you. They already had people like that before, though, I think, in some places where they would, like, actually – well, actually, no, that was pretty much, like, a standard around the whole world because I think in Persia, like, a guy would, like, sometimes he would just go around town and he would just, like, recite, like, Sufi poetry or, like, religious texts, like, to wake them up to go to pray. And then, you know, his fee, of course, was, you know, I mean, it wasn't like his job, but it was seen as polite to give him, you know, something or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of like the squeegee people who go, I mean, I guess it's a little bit more sacred to the squeegee. Well, people treat their cars like they're sacred objects. I don't know. It's all relative. Anyway, so it says throughout medieval Europe, mummering, this is dressing in disguises and visiting neighborhoods while dancing, playing music, and doing tricks was popular on major feast days. So yeah, this is like what's the Wick, remember the Wicker Man movie?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it.
With Christopher Lee. Okay, yeah, well,
not the Nicolas Cage one.
Which
that one's
hilarious. I mean, it's bad, but I think it was like bad on purpose. Like, I really think he did that as a joke. But anyway, so like, you know, even though that whole movie is pretty much about you know, it's like they're like a pagan. It's like a pagan society that's existed that never became Christianized. I think it was always just. No, it was, and then they re-paganized. That's what it was. It became, yeah, because this guy moved there, and then he basically converted all the people back to paganism in, like, the 1800s. And then, like, you know, after a few generations, you know, of course, that was their normal life because their parents, their grandparents did that. That's what to them was, you know, to them Christianity was just some strange, you know, obscure face that other people practice. So in that movie they were kind of doing that. People are dressing up as like clowns, and well, not clowns, but just like weird, like putting on like animal head masks. I think they were actual animal heads too. It wasn't just like a costume. It was like one girl was pretending to be dead, I think, just, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. But they would like dance around and sing, mainly to freak the Christian guy out, because, you know, he was, and the thing is though, in their defense, they were very tolerant of his religion, but he was really, really rude about theirs. And
yeah.
He was a guest in their town. That's a no-no. You don't do that. And especially to these people, because what happens. But anyway, so.
The thing I find interesting, too, is I found this out recently. There's actually, there's a an amusement park called Alton Towers in United Kingdom. In this past year, they, and well, in the 2018, I should say, they opened up a roller coaster called Wicker Man, I believe named after the movie, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of fun.
So yeah, that's kind of. I'm sorry. I keep like freaking out about this mic. Am I good? Because it keeps like falling.
Why don't we take a break now? Well, and
we got some technical difficulties. But hey, yeah. Have a Twix and
have a Twix
and then, or Mars bar or
Pop Tarts or you know, some nice food.
Yeah.
Like and some like Little Caesars pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever you'd like, and you know, listen to this nice little ad here. And hey folks, we'll be right back with some more about Halloween.
That's rock and roll.
Okay, everybody, we are back from our break. This is the Halloween episode.
Cookie Monster.
C is for cookie. It's good enough for me. C is... Okay. Anyways, Yeah, I'm a little slap happy, folks. Yeah. I've got like 2 hours of sleep, so this is a fun podcast.
This is a good one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so whoa, what else do we got going on?
All right, so basically they're saying that the Scottish and Irish immigrants brought that, quote, souling thing where they would go to people's things and pray for their souls to America in the 1800s. And that was sort of transitioned into trick-or-treating, but not totally. But that was, I think that was kind of like the impetus for that eventually happening. But that says that didn't really become a big thing until the 1920s in this country. So, and it says that it was actually really controversial all the way into the 1950s because people, you know, like I said, they thought like it was, you know, like, quote, gangsters, pranksters, and the invention of trick-or-treating. I guess that's a book or something.
Okay.
And it says many adults raised, quote, stern objections to trick-or-treating over the decades, as it was often viewed as a form of extortion. They basically give us candy, or we're going to TP your house, or
egg your house if you don't. Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, some people are probably assholes who would do something like that, but you know, that's why you just wait for them, lie in wait, and then, you know, once they TP your house, you just go out there with like a baseball bat and just chase them off your yard, scare the crap out of them. And that's what I
get off my lawn.
That's right. Get up, but make a game out of it. It's Halloween. You can have fun too. So you make a game out of chasing them around. I think, you know, I think that'd be kind of a cool. Yeah, it'd be kind of a cool, I mean, I would like it. I would do it. Maybe. I always second guess myself. Maybe.
All Too Real 2 does not condone violence in any way whatsoever.
I didn't say violence.
I was just making sure that's clear.
I said chasing them and wielding it doesn't mean you're going to hit
them. Okay.
If you get right to the point where you're going to get to them, then you just don't hit them. You just leave. You go, all right, go leave, you know. I know.
So you don't go all like Negan from Walking Dead on?
Well, no, not at all.
Okay, good.
And this other article, so this is kind of going off a little bit, but it says that, and this was 2013, mind you, so Halloween 2013. So it says Americans are expected to spend a record high $9.1 billion this year, 2013, on Halloween candy, decorations, and costumes, with superheroes, action heroes, and princesses among the most popular dress-up options for kids. And witches for adults. And that's from a website called bu.edu. I guess it's like maybe a university or something. I don't know. And then
maybe it's Boston University.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think this was because that's right, because she did a whole study about supernatural. I think she even wrote a book about it, which is, you know, like pretty, you know, I'd like probably like to get that.
Yeah,
book
it's Boston sometime. University.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says, you know, and she kind of goes more in depth to the stuff than that other article. Like, she traces Halloween, some of it, all the way back to Romans celebrating Pomona, the goddess of fruit and trees. That was like a harvest feast, and we have elements of that today in our Halloween celebration. We bob for apples, for instance, just like how that other article said. So, she kind of goes much more. She says, when Christianity came to Britain, just like what happened when Christianity came to other cultures, they figured the best way to convert people was to incorporate their practices instead of banning them altogether. It just so happened that November 1st was the Christian feast of All Saints, as previously mentioned, and the next day is All Souls Day. October 31st became the Eve of All Saints, or All Hallows Eve. So the modern practice of Halloween incorporates Christianity and pagan rituals. So I love it too when people are like, Halloween, just pagan things. Like, well, it's got your stuff in there too. So
yeah.
So sorry, you know, like you can't dodge that bullet.
Or like, when they're like, oh, Christmas is a good Christian holiday, and there's nothing weird about that. Yeah. But the whole, you know, Christmas tree and all the
which
other
is totally
stuff
pagan.
From Yule and whatever. Well,
the evergreen tree, which obviously grows in Palestine. What? Like, you know. I mean, come on. We know Jerusalem's got evergreen trees just all over the place, right? I mean, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so. And, you know.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, it's in the Bible, apparently. Which, interesting, though, because in the Bible, actually, there's a verse in the Old Testament. Well, Christians call it, I shouldn't call it, I don't call it the Old Testament. I just call it the Torah, the Tanakh, whatever. The Hebrew Bible, there's actually one of the prophets in there is getting really, really pissed off about that the Jews are starting to adopt some of the pagan way or polytheist ways of some of the neighboring nations. And he's just going off on them and talking about how they cut down trees and they put all these decorations on it. And I'm like, holy shit, that sounds like Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because there's actually Christians who don't celebrate Christmas, and they actually point to that verse to condemn Christmas as a pagan holiday. So it's interesting. They actually,
yeah,
they use that very same verse, even though that verse is actually talking about, like, you know, Jebonites or what, I can't know all the names of the,
yeah,
people, but whatever, Hittites or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It had nothing to do with, you know, European pagans. It was polytheism from, you know, that land, you know, the Palestine, Sinai area, whatever, Lebanon. Sorry, I study a lot of weird history and stuff, whatever. And
it's okay, no,
yeah,
need to apologize.
Yeah, that's right. Why am I apologizing for studying history, idiot? Sorry, I beat myself up a lot.
I'm not sure how to feel about any of that right now.
I'm
Matt.
Sorry.
just stop saying sorry.
No.
I'm sorry for being sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, and it says America, a lot of people think of Halloween as an American holiday. In some ways, it is a very American holiday because we've made it big. But because of that, people don't remember that its roots are Celtic European. And it says in Britain, they celebrate Guy Fawkes Day. Guy Fawkes or Foes?
It's Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes Day, which is observed November 5th with fireworks. Okay. And in Wales, Ireland, Scotland, and England, you'll find Halloween celebrated the way Americans celebrate it. In America, the real explosion of Halloween happened when the Irish immigrants came and brought their practice with them. So it's another thing to thank the Irish for. Because he got slain. There's actually a really cool book that I want to read by, I think it's by Peter Lamborn Wilson, who unfortunately is a pedophile. So I don't really want to, you know, if I buy his book, it's going to be used so that he can't get any profit from it. Whatever. So, but he's a really good writer, but unfortunately he's, you know, whatever. And then,
okay,
he wrote a book called, I had to mention that because, and the thing is, okay, I'm going to go on a little thing. I'm kind of punch drunk too. So he's not a pedophile in the sense of like, oh, he's attracted to children. No, he would actively go out because he was an anarchist as well. So what he would do is that he would write all of these like screeds. And he would direct them to kids and be like, hey, man, you know what would be a really cool way to disobey and rebel against society? You know, society says that, you know, relationships should only be adult. You know, so he was trying to make it into like a whole rebellious thing. Like it's rebellious to jump in bed with me. It's like, you know what? You're a fucking asshole. Like, you know, like that's, you know, anyway. So, anyways, I think he wrote a book called When the Irish Invented Slang, and about all of these things that we use as slang words actually originally came from Irish immigrants. Like a whole, I don't know which ones, but like a whole lot of them. So we can thank the Irish for slang and Halloween. It's pretty cool. I would think it's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Personally.
And I'm like half Irish.
Right.
So I'm good with it. Yeah.
You can take pride in yes, you know, in things that you didn't do.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do.
In America.
You take, what was that comedian? What was his name? I forgot. There was a comedian that has a whole bit about like nationalism, like taking pride for shit that you had no, like, yeah, those French are pussies. We saved their asses. It's like, oh, we did. When did we do this? I remember that we got drunk and went to Taco Bell last week or something like that. I don't ever remember going off to, you know, to war.
It's, like, it's just like those people that will be like, you know, they're a Browns fan and be like, man, we really screwed up that game.
Like,
and I'm like,
really?
Were you quarterback?
Yeah,
what position were you playing?
What did you do to contribute to this? Anyway, so it says okay, so it said it looked like a really fun thing to do with the Irish, what they were, the solars probably, so other people wanted to start doing it themselves. And then it asks, well, when did the holiday become like we know it today? And she says, little by little it became more of a children's holiday. People found a way to make money off of it. Of course they did. There are people who won't celebrate Halloween because of its pagan origins and this idea that it's associated with witchcraft. There are certain groups in Christianity that embrace Halloween exactly for what it is, this combination of what came before we incorporated the holiday into our American culture. So now it's paganism, Christianity, and money. That's like the three gods right there. I mean, mix all that up, you got something special.
America.
You got ancient pagan magic, which, you know, I'm kind of going on the limb here. I believe magic is real. You can make fun of me, but I do believe it's real. And then you've got religion into the mix, which is its own form of magic in a way. I shouldn't say that, but yeah. In a way it kind of is. I mean, to be saying a prayer and casting a spell doesn't really, there's not much of a difference other than maybe your intention, but you know, it's the same. You're kind of hoping for some sort of immaterial energy to affect, you know, what's going on in the physical. So it's kind of, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to get too in trouble for saying that, but like, I don't know, you just got this like ancient like magic mixed in with capitalism. So now you got like ancient pagan magic with capitalism. What could go wrong with this holiday? Of course you're going to make money off of it. You're mixing something that's like completely ancient and now you got money in the mix. I mean, it's like I could write a whole book about that right there. That's my new book.
I mean, got candy in there too, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The money probably comes from the candy. Well, not really, the costumes. I mean,
yeah.
They're, you know.
But I'm just saying, candy.
Candy. I, you know what? After this, you want to go to Meijer and just buy a bunch of candy? I'm like, really, I want to buy candy tonight.
Yeah, let's buy a lot.
And I want to buy it before I go, so can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, so after this podcast, Mike and I are going to buy Twix bars, maybe some Three Musketeers. For me, I'm just trying to name all the different products out there. Mars bar. Well, I'm not a huge fan of Mars bars, but you might, and Mars bars might also like us. So
Mars bars are very hard to find in the United States.
Are they really?
Yeah. Mars bars are really popular in Europe.
Thinking, I'm thinking of
Milky Way. Maybe.
Could have sworn Mars. I could have sworn.
Well, there are Mars bars, but they're pretty hard to find in the U.S.
Maybe I saw them at that old school candy shop in Miami or something.
Yeah. And then there's also like, you know, But they're pretty prevalent in Europe and like Great Britain and whatnot. Yeah.
So we're going to buy a bunch of candy to celebrate Halloween soon. If I stop rambling, which, you know, this was only supposed to be a short episode and I'm just going crazy here talking about magic and you know, and Wiccan witchcraft. And I'm going to cast a spell this weekend. I think I am, actually. I'm going to do it. I'll do it on behalf of someone. If I do things for myself, it doesn't work out because I hate myself.
Can you do a spell that'll make me win the lottery?
I'll do a spell for you. I mean, I don't know if it'll work, but I'll try it.
Yeah, because I played the lottery last week, and I won $10.
That's cool. I mean, it's something.
I'm not going to be able to, you know, open up my big podcast studio
for that.
But anyways.
I'll do it. I'll try my best. I'll see what happens.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, and I'll try it again. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it until it works.
Yes.
That's how you do things. You just keep casting spells because, you know, God forbid you actually, you know, do something physical to work or something.
That's how I learned how to walk. I just kept doing it until it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Okay. So, and then now they're just asking, like, weird questions. Like, don't really have anything to do with Halloween. I had another thing I was going to say about it, and I forgot. It was, I think it had something to do with the candy, where the candy came. I think the candy may have just been the capitalist thing, the money thing, you know, just.
Yeah.
I don't really think there was anything traditional, because if anything, they probably would have given them, like, an apple or
something. I mean, it might have something to do with that soul cake thing,
yeah,
too,
oh, yeah,
you know?
Soul cake.
Soul cake and probably eventually became candy.
Because a cake, thinking is usually.
They're both sweets, and,
right.
It's easier to give somebody a Twix bar than it is to give them a cake.
Well, yeah, because you got to bake, God forbid, you know, you actually have to bake a cake and do things, you know, for yourself and hand out to your neighbors. We don't live in that world anymore.
Well, you could buy a bunch of Little Debbie's.
That's what I'm saying. Buy it. You're not making that with
your
own
hands.
That's
another thing I love. Little Debbie's.
Yeah, Little Debbie's.
Cosmic brownies.
Oh, God.
Good stuff.
Oh, my God.
Good stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Zebra cakes.
Yes. Swiss cake rolls.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Nutty bars.
Yes.
And the oatmeal cream pie cookies.
I love nutty bars.
Man.
I bought some at my work the other day and then somebody stole them. Oh, God, that sucks.
Asshole.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, I got really angry there.
We're going off on a little tangent here. I think we just want chocolate.
I think,
but anyways,
we're really hungry for candy right now.
Anything else major that we have to talk here about Halloween?
If you practice Halloween, just be safe, especially if you have kids. Just, make sure that, they've got chaperoned or that
it's really cool to go to those places where they can x-ray your candy and stuff like that, but there's been no misconception in this United States. There's been no reported instances of anybody ever putting razor blades or anything of that nature in candy.
Yeah.
It was just a fear tactic.
I figured.
Yeah, that is still is this day. But, I mean, it doesn't hurt to x-ray the candy to be safe because nowadays you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
If somebody could, do it.
Well, they found cannabis pills in someone's Halloween thing. Recently.
Yeah, so, check your kids' candy.
Some, I don't know if it was on purpose, because they looked like candy. They probably tasted like candy.
I mean, check your kids' candy.
And also,
make sure you have your kids find out who's giving out the crappy candy, so then you can go over and then egg their houses.
Yeah, well, I don't know about
Promote that. Or the ones that give out the little pamphlets with Bible verses on it and stuff.
Come on, people, don't be that guy or that family.
Or the people that give out toothbrushes and toothpaste.
Nobody likes that family. I'm just being honest with you. You might think you're doing a good thing, and you might think that your neighbors, when they smile at you, they're actually smiling at you. They're kind of making fun of you by smiling at you. But
I remember one year I was handing out candy, and it was actually – normally we didn't get – towards the end where I was handing out candy, nobody was coming to the door. For some reason, there was only two houses on my block that were even handing out candy. But before that, there was one year where I actually ran out of candy when I was handing out candy.
Oh, shit.
And so I had to go upstairs, and I had a bunch of rolled up coins, and I was giving that out. And then I got to the point, and I'm not kidding at all, I gave this one kid a can of SpaghettiOs because it was all I could find.
Wow.
There was some SpaghettiOs in the cupboard, and I'm like, yep, there we go. The next kid that comes to the door is getting a can of SpaghettiOs.
Wow. It's thanks, yeah. I guess.
I mean, I had gone through everything. I had, fruit snacks in the cupboard. I gave those away.
Oh,
but it got to the point where the last thing I gave out to the last kid was a can of SpaghettiOs.
That sucks for that kid. But he probably got a bunch of candy from other people, so.
Yeah, but kids love SpaghettiOs. Come on.
I know, but they're not expecting SpaghettiOs on Halloween. They're expecting candy on Halloween. Yeah. It's not a SpaghettiO holiday. I gotta make sure I get all of the SpaghettiOs and Franks, the meatball ones. I'm gonna get them all,
Collect them all.
I'm gonna get the one with the designs, with the, the superhero ones, the regular ones,
the Pokemon ones. So then you can collect them all.
Yeah, the stars, the princess ones. I'm gonna get them all.
Yes.
I'm gonna eat them all in once. Oh god, that'd be way too much sauce. But yeah.
But anyways, I think we should go off and buy ourselves some Halloween candy.
Okay.
And then we're going to eat it and
then whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, make sure you check us out and follow us on social media and all that good stuff. But, until then, make sure you aren't afraid to get all too real.
Two.
Trick or treat.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.